Good morning. Can you hear me? I guarantee you, you will. It's great to be here. It's great to be back. Seems like forever since I saw these beautiful faces. We've been gone a couple of Sundays and then almost feel like a guest preacher this morning. But it's great to be in the house of the Lord today. I counted a privilege to have this opportunity. You know, Paul said in one of his letters, follow me as I follow Christ. I haven't started yet. That's not even in my notes. Follow me as I follow Christ. And what does that mean? It means exactly what it says. You're not following, he's telling his listeners that they're not following him. He is only a representative, a messenger, a teacher, a preacher, an evangelist, and all the different things that he was, pointing them towards Jesus Christ. And if for any reason he got to a point where he unfortunately, or whatever the reason was, stopped following Christ, they had the license and in fact the command to stop following him. Why am I saying this morning? Because the world we live in is going crazy. The church is going crazy because the church exists in the world in which we live. Okay? People have, my wife and I were just having a discussion a few days ago. This very beautiful soul, this lady that she worked with that has now retired, used to be a strong believer and turned away from the church because of what happened to Jimmy Swaggart. Now, you got to be pretty old to remember to remember Jimmy Swaggart and whatever his deal was. But that was a deal breaker for her. Because she didn't realize that whatever his gifts were, that she wasn't following him. And so whatever issues he got into should not have affected her in the way that it did. Jimmy Swaggart, for all I know, is back preaching again. Still got followers. Maybe most of them too young to remember, but even some older ones. Because we are not following people. You know, this church used to be perfect till I walked in the door. There is no perfect church. There are no perfect people. We live in a fallen world. And all of us know this. But Peter said, I would not be negligent to remind you of these things, though you already know them. So sometimes we just need a little reminder. We're in the car driving over this morning, and my wife, she always shoots from the hip. She tells me this morning as we're driving in that you need to speak some words of encouragement to the people. There's been a lot going on. And I, well, that's funny. You tell me now. But the Holy Spirit is real. Because in fact, the subject of my message for today, which he had no idea of, is comfort and encouragement. So any of you who doubt the Holy Spirit here this morning, stop. Because he's real. He has a way of weaving things together, all for the glory of God. Our main text this morning is from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 1, verses 3 through 5. Pastor Jim, you can come in. First Corinthians 1, beginning at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Webster's dictionary defines comfort, the verb, as to give strength and hope to, or to ease the grief or trouble of. As a noun, it's defined as strengthening aid, consolation in time of trouble or worry, a feeling of relief or encouragement, contented well-being, a satisfying or enjoyable experience, and one that gives or brings comfort. When we come to encouragement, unfortunately, Webster says it's the act of encouraging. So we now have to look at what encourage means. To inspire with courage, spirit, or hope. To attempt to persuade, to spur on, or to give help or patronage to. Life is a struggle. It can get tiring, it can get burdensome, it can wear us down. Whatever the struggle is, it may be a struggle with sin or not. We may have family members that are not saved, or even those that are saved that rub off on us the wrong way. How many of you know some people don't have to do anything to rub off on you the wrong way? You just enter their presence and something happens and it messes up your day. Maybe I'm the only one that happens to. Sometimes our bills aren't being paid. Your take-home pay won't take you home. Financially, we're struggling. Our schoolwork can be difficult. Relationships can be frayed and tiring and taxing on us. Work may be exhausting. Health may be a challenge to us sometimes. Loved ones may be hurt. We are unsure of the future. We may be burdened by the loss of a loved one. And it's easy to get discouraged. I read this story, and I'm just going to paraphrase it. I didn't write it down. That one time the devil, God has sent someone to disarm the devil. And he had this arsenal of weapons that he used against God's people. And they were taking stuff, and then they got to a particular one. And he said, you can't have that one. You can take everything else in, but you can't take that one. Guess what that one was? Discouragement. Because that's one of his most lethal weapons that the enemy unleashes on God's people. Discouragement is a thief. It steals our vitality, our zeal, our joy, our peace, and our contentment. A preacher once said this, if discouragement dwells long enough with you, his friends will soon join. Their names are fatigue, hopelessness, despair, self-pity, depression, doubt, and bitterness. And if discouragement and his friends hang around long enough, the cumulative effect will be so overwhelming that sometimes we get to the point that we might not even want to go on living. It can get that bad. You don't need to go too far to hear discouraging news. Just switch on your television or the radio or listen to people talk. I mean, 99% of what you hear is not wholesome and uplifting. Most of it is a downer. You hear more about the problems. Another preacher said this: discouragement is dissatisfaction with the past, distaste for the present, and distrust of the future. Dissatisfaction with the past. Another big trick of the enemy is to remind us of our past, right? Especially the failures and stumbles we've had. Dissatisfaction with the past, distaste for the present, nothing seems to be going right, and distrust of the future, where we don't see any hope that things will get any better, right? However, discouragement can be the result of blindness. And when I say blindness, I'm not talking about physical blindness. I'm talking about spiritual blindness. Blindness in the sense that that discouragement can be the result of ingratitude for the blessings of yesterday. We won't be the first ones to be ungrateful for stuff God has done for us, right? Anyone who has read the Bible knows how God's own people forgetting very quickly about all the stuff he brought them out of and brought them through, began to complain and murmur and wish they were back in slavery when things just got a little bit uncomfortable for them. Unfortunately for us, we live in a world that tells us, the culture tells us, we have the right to be comfortable at all times, and anything that disturbs or messes up our comfort is definitely a bad thing, and we need to do something about it. Baldness has now become a disease that we need to treat. I didn't mean to pick on you. All kind of things that used to be accepted as a normal part of the progression in years process have suddenly become catastrophic life events. But it is in gratitude for the blessings of yesterday, indifference to the opportunities and challenges of today, and insecurity regarding strength for tomorrow. It can be as a result of an unawareness or an indifference to the presence of God in our lives. Because what it boils down to is that we pay more attention to our circumstances and our situations to the Savior of our souls. That's what it boils down to. Unconcerned for the needs of our fellow man and unbelief in the promises of his word. Another problem of the culture of the day is that it's all about me, I, and myself. We are becoming less and less concerned with the needs of others around us. And those needs come in all shapes, forms, and sizes. and unbelief in the promises of God's word. When we don't have a grasp and a firm foundation and belief on what God has promised us in his word, it's easy for discouragement to enter and take hold. So what I'm trying to do today is to lift us up, including myself. We always tell you that when we stand up here and preach from the word of God, we're not preaching at you, we're preaching including ourselves. And some of these messages can be difficult. There's a lot of people that sit and listen to a message and the first thought that runs to their mind, gee, I hope my neighbor was here, or my boss, or my co-worker, or my sister, or whoever it is besides themselves, right? But you're here for a reason. And it's by no chance that the word is coming today. So keeping our eyes on Jesus is the best, the only way to stay encouraged. In him, we can have comfort and peace and encouragement. We need to find him and find him in his words, and by faith, put all our hope and our trust in him. Because guess what? Everything else will fail us. Whatever else we're relying on today will fail us, brethren. Scripture says, heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will always stand. Let's hold firm to the word of God. The entirety of the word of God, even the parts we don't like or the parts we don't understand, his Holy Spirit is able to help us to help the word to come alive in our lives. Amen? Yeah, I admit some of it can be hard to understand. Some of those words you can't pronounce. We just gloss over them, but they're there for a reason. So we're going to look at 4 points here today from the scripture we just read, 1 Corinthians 1, 3 to 5. Number one, we need to be encouraged today because God is a God of mercy and comfort. Verse 3 tells us that, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. God is called the Father of mercies. All mercies come from him. The Greek word is oikumenos. It means compassion, pity, and mercy. It is something that is felt in the heart. In God's heart, he felt mercy towards us. Amen? Scripture says his mercies are new every morning. They're fresh every morning. They are renewed because of the grace and his love that he has for us. He is the author of mercy. Because of his mercy towards us, we can have salvation and the forgiveness of sins and a hope of eternal life and deliverance from eternal damnation because of what Jesus, the payment that Jesus Christ has already made. Psalm 86 and verse 5 says, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. All those. So there is none that is beyond the mercy of God. There is none that is beyond the mercy of God. One of the big tricks that the enemy has made in our lives today and in the culture is to desensitize us to some of the insidious sins that exist and cause us instead to focus on the ones we hear about in the news every day. I won't go into details, but God's word says sin is sin. In Africa, we had this saying that there is no elephant sin and mosquito sin. Those creatures are of vastly different sizes. But sin is sin. And I will tell you this morning that the most dangerous sins are the ones that we tend to overlook and normalize and take it, well, that's just, no. That's not what God's word says. So there is none that is beyond the mercy of God. And the scripture says he's good and ready to forgive, abundant in mercy to all who call upon him. The word there used means exhortation, comfort, and encouragement. That's why the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter in John chapter 14 and verse 26. But the Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said to you. He will bring all things. He will teach you. He dwells within us. Once we've accepted Jesus, the finished work of Jesus Christ, and we've accepted him as our Lord and Savior, his Spirit dwells within us. The scripture says, in fact, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives within us. That same Holy Spirit. So we've got the power of God within us. But we need to realize it first, and then secondly, we need to act like it and live like it. Amen? So how do we get comfort from God? God is the God of all comfort, right? By faith. We have to believe, like I said. We have to believe it, and then we have to act on it. We can get comfort from others. God can use other people to comfort us and encourage us. By the same token, God can use us and wants to use us to give comfort and encouragement to others. Through his word, reading, hearing, meditating, and believing his word, we can get comfort and encouragement. Amen? Every time I read about David, I'm encouraged. Yes, I am. Not only David, anytime I read any part of the Bible, David just happens to be one of the best examples of God doing good things through imperfect people and by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Point two, we should take encouragement because God is there when we go through stuff. When we go through trials, when we go through afflictions, when we go through tribulations, when we go through testings. Verse 4 of the passage of 1 Corinthians 1. Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble? Excuse me. So the same word used here in the New King James, tribulation, is also translated affliction or trouble in other translations. So tribulation, trouble, anguish, persecution, burden, affliction, depending on which translation you're reading. They come in all shapes and sizes. It's not a one size fits most. How many of you notice that they don't say one size fits all anymore? Now is one size fits most. I'm not going to guess why, but they come in all shapes, afflictions do, come in all shapes and sizes, sickness, financial difficulty, losses, troubles, wars and rumors of wars, all kinds of stuff we go through on a daily basis. But we need to know, and this is an important point, that sometimes afflictions are self-generated. Amen? Another thing about the culture today that we live in a society that blames somebody else for everything. It's my mother, it's the government, it's my neighbor, it's the church, it's the pastor, it's the preacher, it's that driver driving next to me. There were a few crazy ones on the freeway this morning coming in. We tend to blame people for everything. But sometimes affliction occurs when we get frustrated, confused, and hurt, and allow it to fester without bringing it to God. Amen? Jesus said we should cast all our cares upon Him. He cares for us. But by nature, some of us are problem-solving people. We want to figure it out. We want to give it our best effort. And only when all else fails, then we go back to what we should have done in the first place, right? When we get to that point of desperation, and everything's falling apart, and I said, well, you know, as a last resort, let me try God. I've been there. Yeah, we said, let me try God. But He's there all the time, just waiting for us to call on Him. Isaiah says that before you even asked, I have heard you. That's how much He cares for us. And is concerned about everything in our lives. Why do we have afflictions? The simple answer is that we live in a fallen world. It takes a world, another preacher said, it takes a world with trouble in it to train Christians for their high calling as children of God and to enable us to fulfill that purpose for which God has called us, which is to be a light and an encourager and a comfort to others. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now that's a tough one. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Count it all joy. We have the ability to count it all joy when we see past the circumstance that God is right there with us and He's allowing this for our own good. Because we come out better on the other side. You know, this ring is gold. But gold doesn't look like this when you dig it out of the ground, right? It needs to go through a refining process. And that refining process involves some very high temperatures that is meant to burn out the impurities. Same way God deals with us. We got to go through stuff so that when we come out on the other side, we'll be better equipped to do the things he's called us to do. See, we want to be promoted, but we don't want to pass the test. Unlike our educational system, God is not going to water down his requirements. Too many people fail, so we make the test easier. No. We equip the people better, is the way it should be. But we go through stuff not to destroy us, but to strengthen us and to equip us for what God has called us to do. Afflictions are a way of making us better. It's a strengthening through the comfort and mercy of Jesus Christ. And that is the major difference between our afflictions and trials and the afflictions of those who don't know Jesus as their Savior. For them, it's just punishment. They can't see the purpose. They can't see the other side. It's just an all-around downer. But thank God for the hope we have in him. Point number three, we should be encouraged because we can and should be an instrument of encouragement to others. The second half of verse 4, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Because we have received something from God in the past, we're able to use that experience and help encourage and comfort somebody. You know, reading books and being very educated is a good thing. Nothing bad about that. But there's no better teacher than our own experience. And you know the bad thing about experience, I always tell people? Experience is a bad teacher. Why? Because experience gives the test before the lesson. Excuse me. Experience gives the test before the lesson. And usually the outcome is not good. So we need to be encouraged ourselves so that we can encourage others. Why? It glorifies God to comfort others. Being used by God also makes us feel good and fulfilled. We need to praise God even when we've had afflictions so that then we can be able to help others. Because when we've been through it, we're better equipped to help somebody, to encourage somebody, to lead somebody, to pray with somebody, and to empathize with them in what they're going through. One of the biggest things we need to remember when we're going through suffering is that Jesus suffered before us. Like Pastor Jim always said, if you find somebody who suffered worse than Jesus, then he's willing to listen, that yours is worse. It's not. Last point, number 4. We should be encouraged because the comfort we receive from God comes through Jesus. Verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. You see, we can only stand and proclaim and be comforted and encouraged because what? He has already suffered. And there's nothing we will go through in this life that will compare to the sufferings that Jesus went through. Amen? I mean, for us, some of us, suffering is to open your fridge and you don't like what's in there. Not that there's no food there, but you don't like what's in there.
Then there's DoorDash and Uber Eats and all the other things. No. But Jesus has already suffered and paid the price so that we don't have to go through it again. I'll have the worship team come up. This means that all comfort, all encouragement, all hope that we receive even from or through others come as a result of what Jesus Christ has already done. He's the source of the hope. He's the source of comfort. He's the source of encouragement. He's the source of our salvation. Amen. We receive it by faith. We receive it by faith, by believing that God is who he says he is and that he will do what he says he will do. It's not all that complicated, brother. It's not all that complicated, but we have an enemy who wants to tell us that if you can't see it, touch it, smell it, feel it, or hear it, that means it's not real. God is real. He's still alive and still on the throne today, no matter what's going on around us. Where our sufferings may be, or our tribulations or trials, they can be used interchangeably. Where they're abundant, so is our comfort. Is that abundant? It's a spiritual comfort and is received by faith, by choosing to receive it, by choosing to act on it, by choosing not to stay down, by choosing to rise up again when we stumble and fall, by choosing to continue to trust God that he is who he says he is, by remembering that he didn't just save us by accident. He didn't create us because he had nothing better to do. He created us to fellowship with him. The scripture says he created us in his own image after his own likeness. He put his nature in us. Hallelujah. Encouragement is something that belongs to us as believers in Jesus Christ. We don't have to continue suffering by ourselves. That's why Hebrews said we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but we should meet, and thereby we can encourage one another. We can lift one another up. We can teach one another and live this life together as children of God. Please stand. Jesus is good. God is good. If you're here this morning, you don't know this Jesus we just sang about. You've heard a lot about him, but you've never reached a point that you gave over control of your life to him. Admitted that you're a sinner. Accepted his gift of salvation. If you're here this morning, you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, don't leave here the same way you came. We want to pray with you. And that'll be the most important decision. That's literally a choice between death and life. But a lot of death and life things. This is real. Stop me or Pastor Jim or Larry or Aaron or any one of us, and we'll be glad to talk with you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you're a God of all mercy and comfort. We thank you that when we can see no way, you make a way.
We thank you that when the enemy is too strong, you are a battle axe and you fight on our behalf, even when we don't realize it, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are God of all comfort. That no matter what we're going through, we may be disturbed, we may be confused, we may be lacking in whatever way, shape, or form, Lord. We lay all our cares and our burdens down before you this morning. We say, you take them. You said in your word, your yoke is easy and your burden is light. We burden down with too many things that we can't control, Lord, and we give them to you this morning. Help us to look to you, to lean on you, to read and meditate and study and believe your word, but more importantly, to act upon that belief, Lord. Oh, we thank you this morning for another opportunity you've given us. Father, I declare this morning victory in every battle that your people, that we are going to face, even this week, Lord. We pray that every crooked path will be made straight. That every mountain may be removed and every valley will be exalted. In Jesus' name, Lord, bring plenty where there is lack. Lord, where we have broken relationships, Lord, bring healing, Lord. Where there is hurt and sickness, bring healing and restoration, Father. By the power of the blood of Jesus and the fire of the Holy Spirit, we thank you this morning. Dismiss us now with your blessing. May your sweet Holy Spirit continually abide with us and in us until we meet again. And all God's people say, amen.